Hello, hello, and welcome back to Let's Talk About. I'm Jason, and you are the audience. Now, we actually have some news to talk about. The last few weeks, I've been mentioning it's been difficult to find topics with the COVID-19 pandemic going on and everything else happening in the world. Black Lives Matter, it's kind of been the same thing over and over and over again. But we seem to have something very interesting happening. It was announced today, I'm recording this on Monday, the 13th, that the Washington Redskins will officially drop the Redskins moniker and their logo moving forward. They haven't announced a new name. They haven't announced any changes to like the color scheme or anything. It was just they released a statement. I've actually got it right here. It's released today. On July 3rd, we announced the commencement of a thorough review of the team's name. That review has begun in earnest. As part of this process, we want to keep our sponsors, fans, and community appraised of our thinking as we go forward. Today, we are announcing we will be retiring the Redskins' name and logo upon completion of this review. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud tradition-rich franchise and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. Now, before I start talking about this, there's something, you know, this episode is going to be about specifically the idea of intent does not erase impact. We're going to talk about the McGill Redmen, we're going to talk about the Edmonton Eskimos, we're going to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks, and so many other teams that have indigenous iconography, indigenous names, and why there is this push to have their names changed. Unfortunately, Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington Redskins, for a very long time has come out and said repeatedly that he will not change the team's name. He will not kowtow to pressure. He will not, you know, desecrate the tradition and honor that the Redskins' name gives indigenous communities. And I want to look very quickly at this press release because there's something very important that jumped out to me. A lot of people might know that in the days leading up to, or actually the day, the 24 hours leading up to the Redskins' initial announcement that they would be reviewing the name and logo, Redskins merchandise had been removed from a number of websites, from like Nike and I know FedEx, who I believe owns, I can check this, but FedEx, who is a major sponsor of the Redskins, asked Dan Snyder to change the name. Nike removed Redskins merchandise from their websites. And there was a very quick response by the Redskins organization to say that they were going to review the name. And I want to take you through a few sentences here. The first paragraph, as part of this process, we want to keep our sponsors, fans, and community apprised of our thinking as we go forward. Why is sponsors the first thing that they mention? Sponsors, fans, and community. And then later on, final sentence of, or I guess the final full paragraph, a massively long sentence. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud, tradition-rich franchise and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. Make no mistake, going forward, the only reason, I won't say only reason, but the major reason a lot of these teams will not change is because it does not impact them on a financial level. The fact that the Redskins were threatened with losing sponsorship dollars and had their merchandise removed from one of the biggest online retailers in terms of Nike was because the sponsors wanted it gone. It affected their bottom line, and that's why they're changing the state. That's what I want to get out in the first few minutes of this episode, and you can look right at this press release right here where they say sponsors, fans, and community. Don't say fans, community, and sponsors. Don't want to put the fans first. Don't want to put your community first and say, hey, we're listening to you. Say you're listening to the sponsors first. Good job, Dan Snyder. Good job. But the Washington Redskins name change comes in the midst of this huge push to change sports team names, to remove indigenous iconography. They are just the next in a series that have gone on. And they very specifically, this story and when we're going to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks later and the Atlanta Braves later, there's little minute differences from case to case, and we need to address all of those little minute differences. I want to back up all the way to the University of North Dakota, who used to be the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux. They were asked to change the name. They changed it to the North Dakota Sioux. And now they have completely changed. The Sioux was the name for a little bit, and then they went nameless for a very short stretch, and they are now the University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks. They were asked by the team, by the community, the Sioux community in North Dakota, to change the name, so they relented and they changed the name. Still one of the biggest college hockey programs, or college sports programs, essentially in North America, especially in hockey. They were one of the biggest programs. Jonathan Toews, TJ Oshie came through there, Brock Besser came through there. They are fantastic at what they do. And very quickly, people got used to the Fighting Hawks name. The same thing that's coming out right now, people complaining that, you know, social justice warriors are winning with the Redskins name. Same things were said. Why are you changing this name? It's a tradition. Why are communities so angry now? Why haven't they been angry the last 100 years? No, not acknowledging the fact that they have been angry the last 100 years, but that's a whole different argument. There was a large outcry, people wanting the name changed back and wanting it to remain the Fighting Sioux, saying, oh, it's honorable, it's saying they're very tough and they fight and they're great. But very quickly, people just accepted the Fighting Hawks name and have moved on with their lives. It's still the same program, still the same colors, still the same history, it's just a different name. Same thing's happening with the Redskins. Now this comes a little over a year after the University of McGill dropped the Red Men moniker from their varsity programs. If you know anything about U Sports, you might know the women's programs are called the Martlets, and the men's programs are called the Red Men, or were called the Red Men. As of April 12th, 2019, the University of McGill agreed to drop the name Red Men. Now, this is very important, because this brings up the argument of intent does not erase impact. This is something that I've written about before. I'm just going to pull up the article that I wrote on this way back. It's called Red Men No More, and I will include it in the show notes, the link to it in the show notes. And I'm going to read a little bit from this. So, intent does not erase impact. It is a simple phrase that has been given great meaning. The aforementioned phrase and variations of it are brought up to explain how seemingly innocuous acts can have unintended racist, sexist, or ableist outcomes, how innocent actions can harm people in unforeseen ways. Basically, regardless of the intent of an action, the outcome is what matters. The phrase is simple and could become the mantra used to help sway those resistant to renaming sports teams and other organizations in the future. So to go through the history of the McGill name, I've had an episode on this before. I had an episode on this back when I was doing shows for Bison Sports, but here's this a little bit more of the article. The current Canadian social climate has pushed us to reevaluate our relationship with Indigenous cultures. We have begun to question our own history and status in an attempt to understand and push forward in reconciliation efforts. One avenue of change has come through reclaiming or removing offensive terms from prominent organizations. However, those supporting the McGill Red Men name are quick to argue the moniker originally had no connection with Indigenous peoples. In the 1920s, the nickname Red Men was adopted in reference to the red uniforms worn by the various athletic teams. Prior to this, other terms had included red and white and red team. Even now, the McGill hockey teams wear red jerseys, pants, socks, and gloves. The name also had roots in the university's founder, James McGill, a man of Irish heritage. The term Red Men was used among Celts in ancient times and is still used today to describe those with red hair. There was no allusion to Indigenous Canadians or any racist symbolism in the beginning, yet what began as an inside joke became something much worse just a decade later. As early as 1938, the McGill Red Men began to be referred to colloquially as the Indians. Indigenous imagery even appeared on the helmets and jerseys of McGill football and hockey teams until being removed in 1991. Even more troublesome was the nickname given to the women's hockey team. I'm not going to say it because it's a racial slur, in the 1960s, the club was regularly referred to with a racial slur against Indigenous women. McGill never moved to officially adopt any of these titles, but media students of the program itself used the nickname for decades. Clearly, despite innocent intentions, the name Redmen was perverted almost instantly and has become something worth changing. At the time, Hudson Meadwell of McGill's Department of Political Science, in an interview with CBC, said, "There is no moral equivalence between removing a historic indignity to Indigenous people by changing the name of men's sports teams and retaining the name." Now, the resolution was passed by a very wide margin at the time. The McGill Students Union, the students voted 78.8% supporting the resolution to change the name. It was a non-binding resolution. It was up to the athletic department and the university itself to change the name. But they listened, and the program will be named. The original plan, so for the 2019-2020 athletic season, the men's varsity teams were known as the McGill teams, just McGill, and the university will be announcing a new name in time for the 2020-2021 season. Thanks to COVID-19, we're not sure when that's going to happen, but the name should come soon enough. Martlets would be a great name. It's the one that's used by the women's team, but we're going to move forward with that. Now, this issue of intent does not erase impact is central to this discussion. You know, the argument that, oh, the names were adopted to provide homage and honor Indigenous groups, even though something like the Washington Redskins was using a racial term for Indigenous peoples, the Cleveland Indians using the term Indians, which is an incorrect term. You know, over our history, names have been given to groups and then utilized by powerful actors to change the inherent meaning of those words to something derogatory. Think of the word Native in Canada. Now, this conversation is going to continue on. The Washington Redskins have been forced to change their name due to pressure by sponsors, but that still leaves teams like the Cleveland Indians, who removed Chief Wahoo, who was this racist caricature of an Indigenous man, from the rotation of logos. It used to be their primary logo. It was on their hats. It was on their jerseys. It was on a lot of branding around their facilities, and they changed it to a simple red C. There's no notion of if the name will be changed. The Kansas City Chiefs might have been put in people's sights, but one of the biggest ones, one of the ones that hits home very closely for a lot of people, is the Chicago Blackhawks. And I'm going to bring up kind of the story for you for the name, so we can get into this intent does not erase impact argument. So the Blackhawks were established in 1926. They were originally called the Chicago Blackhawks, Black Space Hawks, from 1926 to 86, and it became a singular word, Blackhawks, in 1986. So the team was founded May 1st, 1926, by Chicago coffee tycoon Frederick McLaughlin. McLaughlin had been a commander of the 333rd Machine Gun Battalion of the 86th Infantry Division during World War I. The division was named the Black Hawk Division after a Native American of the Sauk Nation, Black Hawk, who was a prominent figure in the history of Illinois. McLaughlin named the new hockey team in honor of the military unit, making one of the sports team names using Native Americans as icons. However, unlike the military division, the team's name was spelled in two words as the Black Hawks until 1986, when the club officially became the Black Hawks based on the spelling found in the original franchise documents. Now, that is important to know. The team still uses that name. They still use the side profile of an Indigenous man's head with typical war paint on and feathers in his hair. It's not an overtly racist symbol, but the issue is that they are using Indigenous iconography and kind of tokenizing Indigenous peoples. Now, people have long argued that the name had nothing to do with Indigenous peoples. It was the name of a military battalion, or the 333rd Machine Gun Battalion of the 86th Infantry, missing the fact that the Black Hawk Battalion was named after Chief Black Hawk, So Cheek Blackhawk was a Sauk leader, born in 1767 in Sacre-Coeur, Quebec, when it was still under British control, and he fought during the War of 1812. Now, Blackhawk was 45 during the War of 1812 and served as a war leader of the Sauk band at their village of Sacre-Coeur, which fielded about 200 warriors. They lost land to the ceded territory to the United States. So people are going to argue that the name has nothing to do with indigenous peoples, and you can say that's patently false through its naming of the Blackhawks, which are connected to the military division, which is then connected to Chief Blackhawk himself. That's just not true. They are named after an indigenous leader, no matter where the original point of the name came up. Then that it honors an indigenous person. Well, you know, if Chief Blackhawk was treated well by anybody in North America, that might have had an argument for that. But still, you are using a name that is derived from a group that is oppressed. We are not allowed to define how people react. Intent does not erase impact. You may intend for this name to be something, to mean something, but as we've seen with the McGill Redmen, that can be changed. The McGill Redmen name had nothing to do with indigenous peoples, but over the years it was changed. It was molded by those who were able, you know, people, the cultural intermediaries who are able to shape the meaning discourse around what words mean. And they were able to shape the meaning of that word, that name, means something completely different. It was tainted irreparably. Once those connections have been made, that has tainted the name. Now, there are multiple ways you can go about something like this. You can keep the name, and, you know, I'm not talking about the Redskins. The Redskins need to change that name because Redskins is a racial term. It's a racial slur. I feel really bad for having to say it, but I have to say it for the purpose of this, for this episode. But that is a racial slur. That needs to be changed. That directly flies in the face of indigenous peoples. The term Redskin was used for bounties on the scalps of indigenous people during colonization. Why would you say in any way that that name honors indigenous people, when that was the word used to oppress them? That was the word used to say, to describe the scalp that was removed to show that you had prove that you had killed an indigenous person to receive a bounty. You cannot say that. You cannot make that argument. With the Blackhawks, it's a little bit different. They're named after an infantry division that's named after an indigenous leader. A little bit different. The Kansas City Chiefs. Chief is a position within an indigenous band, still treading kind of on dangerous territory. I think the Cleveland Indians don't have an argument. Indian, it's a racial term. It's an incorrect racial term. It's when, you know, American or European settlers arrived in North America. They thought they'd found India, called the people Indians. That's just not correct. And it's not even used in government documents anymore, even though the Indian Act remains, I believe still remains, on the books in Canadian law. The terms are not proper in proper social life anymore. Now, how do we change this? You got to take an approach that is similar to what the Edmonton Eskimos have been taking and what the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux did, where you go to the communities and you ask them. Let them decide what they want. If you really, really, the Chicago Blackhawks, if the Wirtz, Rocky Wirtz and the Chicago Blackhawks really want to keep this name, first off, change the logo. There have been great artist renderings of alterations to the Blackhawks logo to make it an actual hawk that look absolutely beautiful. It's still in the same style, but hire an indigenous artist, hire somebody from the Sauk Nation to redo that logo in a way that is culturally sensitive. Use their artistic style to make that logo and make it beautiful. And if you want to retain the name, get their permission. Say, hey, do you want this? if you really want to go the next step, bring them in to the, not maybe not the ownership of the team, but bring them in somehow where they can impact the organization, where you can have that connection with that nation to say, hey, we respect you. You're a part of this. We're going to use your name, but to use your name, it's contingent on you being a part of this. And reclaim that name. Allow them to reclaim and then use that name properly. If indigenous groups had wanted to reclaim the name Redmen or the word Redmen, they could, just like the N-word among African-American communities. Still not proper for people that are not African-American to use that term, but it is still its reclaimed term that they have changed the meaning of within themselves to suit themselves. If you are the Edmonton Eskimos, who themselves are doing an internal review and they are speaking with Inuit communities, and they've done so repeatedly over the years, I think that's one of the best things that could be done in terms of what the Edmonton Eskimos are doing, is that they've continually gone to Indigenous communities and gone to Inuit communities and asked, are you okay with this? Are you okay with this? Are you okay with this? Just to keep that checkup going. They've done it multiple times over the years, and so far the Inuit communities in Northern Canada have been fine with it. Now the tides are kind of shifting. A couple of years ago, the Edmonton Eskimos patented and trademarked the name Edmonton Empire, and they've been using One Empire as a slogan and as a hashtag for a few years now, kind of getting people ready for the potential of having to change the name. So very quickly, you're probably going to see the Edmonton Eskimos become the Edmonton Empire. No need to change the logo, still the dual E's, no need to change the color scheme. You are the Edmonton Empire now. Just need to change a bit of the branding, you need to change some words on the website and on policy documents, but you're the Edmonton Empire now. As soon as Indigenous groups, the Inuit people of Northern Canada say, no, we're not cool with this anymore. Or they just want to stop the conversation and say, fine, we're just going to change the name to get rid of it because we think it's the best option. Blackhawks want to change it, they can change it. And that's what it comes down to, is you need to talk to these communities and see and bring them in to this conversation. Because right now it's a bunch of white people like Rocky Wirtz and Dan Snyder and the ownership group of the Edmonton Eskimos saying, we get to decide. Because we didn't intend for this to be problematic. We didn't intend for this name to offend you. So that makes it okay? Remember, intent does not erase impact. Just because you intend for something good does not erase the harm that it could possibly do. You could push somebody out of the way of a bus and they fall down and break their arm. The intent of you saving their life does not magically heal their arm. You could name your program the McGill Redmen after the red uniforms you wear, but that does not erase the fact that those communities have been harmed and that name has been bastardized. Just to close here from the article I wrote, as the old saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. While the original meaning behind the team name or logo may be pure, the perspectives of marginalized groups cannot be ignored. There will be those resistant to such change, there will be those unwilling to look toward the past with anything but blind admiration, and those unwilling to give in to politically correct culture. However, to borrow a meaningful phrase, intent does not erase impact. You may have thought nothing of a name or an action or of a policy, but that does not give you the right to tell someone their pain or their offense is not valid. Just because you understand the meaning behind the name Chicago Blackhawks or feel the pride in the name Washington Redskins does not give you the right to tell others to sit down and shut up. We need both sides to come together and have a frank discussion about what is to be done. Hiding behind rhetoric and platitudes about respect do not further the discussion, but serve to slow down a natural evolution. Most of all, we need people to understand that just because your intentions are pure, it does not mean your impact will not be harmful. And that will do it for the episode today. Thank you very, very much for listening. If you're tuned in live on 101.5 UMFM, thank you very much for your time and for your ears. If you're tuned in on Spotify, thank you very much for your download. Every single download helps. This has been Let's Talk About. I have been Jason. You have been the audience. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful weekend, a wonderful week. And to play us out, more of Joachim Karud's Clouds. Thank you very much.